Hello, welcome to Moms of Light and our 36th episode. This is Paige Anderson. Hello, you amazing sisters and brethren. I love hearing from all the different men, and I keep hearing from more and more that are listening. So thank you to the teenagers, the brethren, and also, of course, the sisters and moms that are listening all over the world. I think I've told you guys before, but one of my favorite things, I never worry or care about numbers, even though I'm always humbled and amazed by the numbers. I never worry about them, but I love seeing countries. For some reason, I think it's so neat how the Lord spreads the message to anyone who is ready or hopefully may need it. So it is my prayer that the Spirit will be with you today and help you and teach you, and that you will learn exactly the things that you need to learn, because I'm so excited about this episode. And for those of you who follow consistently and loyally, I love you. Thank you. I noticed a lot of you looked last week and I didn't post one, so I missed a week, but I am back. I love you all. And this one I did take more time to put together because I never want to put something out there just to put it out there. I really do want to put something of substance that I'm learning and that I'm always prayerful that the Spirit will be able to teach you through it and do something great with whatever I have. And I try really hard. And so last week, because this one was so important to me, and also life was a little crazy, but I wanted to go more in depth. And I'm really, really glad because the Spirit kept teaching me more things throughout this week. So I'm doubly excited to bring it to you. And thank you for all of you amazing loyal listeners that come back, and also for sharing it, because I also hear, oh, my friend told me about it, my sister told me about it, my wife did, or even sometimes their daughters do. So I love it. So thank you, and let's get started. Okay, so I wanted to first ask you a question. Do you have spiritual spunk? So I read this in one of the talks and completely fell in love with that phrase. And anyways, that's going to totally be my new phrase. But I love spiritual spunk, and it had to do with the topic for today, which is hope. So I'm kind of skipping. As you guys know, I'm going over each aspect for the month from the scripture about charity. Charity suffereth long and is kind. But I'm skipping because I really felt like this was the one not only did I need in my life right now, but also I was hoping and praying that, you know, it can bless other people. But it's definitely the one that has been on my heart lately that I have been learning the most from. So we're going to skip to hopeth all things. But before we do, I did want to bring up a few things. One, I was listening to a BYU talk last week in preparation for this, but it didn't have anything to do about hope. It was a great talk. Maybe sometime I'll post that or bring up some other things. But I love it because he said, I'm not apostle or prophet. Like, this is not doctrine, but I'm trying to quote prophets and apostles and scriptures as much as possible so that it can be as correct as possible. He's like, but I'm still human, so I'm paraphrasing. He said it more eloquently. He's like, but, you know, always check it. And if I say something that's wrong, I'm human, I say something that's wrong. So I always love that, especially because today I am not going to be quoting who all of these came from, because I literally have over, I think, 16, 17 pages of notes, and I even have more somewhere else. And I had them out like for a week because I've been a couple of weeks, right? Because even after last week, after I gathered all of it, I was like, I still want to go more in depth. And they somehow got mixed up. And so honestly, I didn't want to take the time to go figure out, wait, which one said this quote and which one said this one? Because some of the pages orders were mixed up. So hey, a lot of what I'm going to say, I can't take credit for any of it, because really, I have that many pages of notes from apostles and prophets, and I won't even get to all of that. I will post these amazing talks in the notes on momsoflight.com. Again, we always get a lot more listens on SoundCloud, and I don't even know, however you get it, your iPhone, Android, whatever those things are. My husband had me help me set it up forever ago. Then people going to the site, which is great. I love however you listen. But also, I hope that you will go more in depth, because each of these talks were amazing. And this really is such an important topic. And it goes back to that hope with all things, because as you guys know, that goes along with charity, and it's one of the key components of charity. And that's something I have been praying for years. As I mentioned in one of my first podcasts, like that really was my driving force. I think I just started a movie on my computer. Hold on. Whoops, you're going to like suddenly hear a kid movie play. Okay, but I have been praying and asking and seeking for charity for such a long time. And as you guys know, the Spirit really helped me understand the beauty and importance of faith and how faith works along with charity the beginning part of this year. And I feel like I'm finally understanding and seeing the huge, important, vital role that hope plays with charity. And that without hope, there is no charity. Like, you literally need that brightness of hope in order to have that charity, in order to be charitable, forgiving, loving, understanding, patient. It's really neat. So hopefully I'll be able to get all of it because it is absolutely amazing. And I love in Psalms that it tells us that happy is he whose hope is in the Lord. And really that is part of this quest, as men are, they might have joy. And that joy and happiness truly does come from hope. And what an important part of light it is. As you guys know in the other podcasts, if you've listened, I know we get new listeners all the time. So hello if you're new. But a huge part and something I'm very passionate about is light, which is actually why this is called Moms of Light, because it's about acquiring light. Whether you are a teenager listening, a dad or a mom, it's all about the light of Christ. And there's some beautiful quotes and scriptures in here about how Christ is hope, and his hope is that light, and the contrast between light and darkness. And so as I shared, this year has definitely been probably one of the most, if not the very most trying year of my life. Like, I don't think any year has been even remotely this close to as trying. And just really big, crazy trials I would have never, ever anticipated. And as I was preparing for this talk, I realized that the Lord has been allowing me to develop the gift of hope through these trials. That I don't know the reason for all the trials, as I've talked about in podcasts in the past. Like, sometimes the Lord's like, nope, you don't really get to know. Sometimes he does tell us the purpose, and we receive visions or inspirations of, here's why, here's how it's going to end up. And we're like, yay, that's awesome. But sometimes he doesn't give us that. And with all the different crazy trials that have been going on, sometimes the Lord does give me a vision or direction or comfort, or here's the purpose, or here's how it will work out. Some of them he's having me go by faith, but all of them just the hope and the light, and not allowing frustration or despair or darkness to overtake that. And that has been a really humbling and beautiful thing. And I heard such a neat analogy that I really wanted to share with you guys, because I think it's absolutely perfect. And it has to do with muscles and working out, but it's such a perfect, beautiful spiritual analogy. So in order to build muscle, we actually have to like tear it down, right? Like, when we're working out and when we're doing that like strenuous, that like really hard exercise, we are tearing it down. And then while we rest, it allows it to repair and build even stronger. And that is such a like true principle of what trials do in our life. And that they are the things that help shape us, that make us stronger, that make us who we are. Like, if you look at the apostles and prophets in the scriptures, and even current ones that have gone through so much, and yet their strength, they really do have huge spiritual muscle. As you guys know, some of my favorites are definitely Nephi. Look at everything that Nephi went through. And he had such strong spiritual muscles. Like, he had been torn down and down, like trial after trial after trial. Like, talk about trials. Like, I don't really want to wander through the wilderness for that many years. I don't want my siblings, my brothers, to try to kill me. I don't want my women to like bear up the burden like men and eat raw meat. Like, there's something like, I don't want all of these trials. Yet they allowed him to go become stronger. And same with Job or Joseph of Egypt. Even Joseph Smith, so many of them went through so much, and it made them that much stronger. And the same is true for our Savior. I was talking to one of my kids today about Christ and also Joseph Smith. We were talking about how Joseph Smith went through so, maybe it was last night, but anyways, I was talking to my child and about how Joseph Smith went through so much. And at one point he's like, okay, what? Like, what is going on with me? Like, where is thy pavilion? Like, where's the pavilion of the Lord? And when he's wondering this, it's because he's been through so much. And you know, in his mind, he's like, Lord, I have done everything. I am trying. Like, there's no way you care about me to let me go through so much. And I love how Heavenly Father, like, compares it to the Lord and talks about how the Savior has suffered and gone below all of this. Are you greater than thou? But again, the Savior went through all of that, everything. He bore every single one of our burdens, every single one of our trials, so that he could have that spiritual strength, that spiritual understanding, that spiritual muscle to help guide us, to help us understand in a way that only he can understand, because he went through that. And that is why each of us has our own trials and why they are perfectly fit for us. I know we've talked about this before, but it really is true. When we see other people's trials and we're like, I don't understand why that's a big deal to them, or why they're struggling with that, or why they're reacting that way. And it's because that's why it's not our trial. It's not our testing point. It's not the thing that's going to tear down our muscles, tear us down, where we need that light and that strength like never before. And it was really funny because sometimes I have those years, right? And maybe you guys do too, where they're just like spiritual highs and life is good. And you're like, wow, I've got this like all figured out. This is all great. And then suddenly it's like, wham. And you're torn down and you're like, wait, what? Like, I don't know if I have anything figured out. Like, we're totally humbled. And like, okay, I thought I was relying on you before, Lord. But now I realize, yeah, I need to rely on you in a completely, completely, completely different way. Like in such a deeper level, because we are brought to our knees in a way that only the struggles and trials and weaknesses can do. And that is where we have a deeper relationship and deeper connection with the Lord. And part of this year, I was like, Heavenly Father, why on earth would you have me do a podcast the year that my life is crazy and trials are kind of crazy? Like, why this year of all years? When I feel like I have it the least put together. And one, it's because I'm not doing this because I have it put together at all. But really, that's when we have the most growth. And I have the most to share from the deep inner parts of my heart, because I am going through that really hard workout right now of finding that hope, even in the midst of where Satan wants that despair to come in, wants that darkness to come in. But that as we rely on the Lord, we can overcome it and become stronger. So there have been a lot of fires I live in Utah, for those of you who are in other places, but there have been a lot of fires in Utah and by me lately. I think this summer we had 3 pretty close to my house I don't know how close of a distance, but I mean, really close, where the fire trucks are like driving past our house to get to them. And this last one, it was actually, I think it was 2 weeks ago now, but I was at my son's football game and we saw this black, dark smoke start, which when that starts, you know, it is something burning. Like, it's a house, right? Like, there's different colors of smoke and fires, and we were like, something is burning. And then we started to see the flames and we could literally see a building, which ended up being a house, burning from where we were. And it was so sad to watch that, to just watch that fire just consume someone's home. And then it moved on and kept going on. And there was a police officer right next to us that his child is on the team. So he was giving us updates and telling us everything that was going on and how they had firefighters there. And we've had, again, fires this year by our house, but also in years past, even closer, right, like within the street of our house. But I'm always amazed at how the amazing firemen are able to save homes. And a fire that should consume hundreds or thousands of homes, they are able to protect. And So they sent out all these firefighters, and they were helping, you know, build those barriers, build those walls. And it dawned on me that that is what the light and hope of Jesus Christ really, really is. It is that barrier. It is those firefighters and those special, that ability to keep that out. So the fire might still be there, but it keeps it from consuming us. It keeps that darkness, that sadness, that doubt, the fear, the despair from overtaking us and just, you know, lighting everything up. So it has been amazing. And I just finally understood in such a real beautiful way as just watching those families and watching the families on the football team come together and help people whose houses were right there, who had their fences melt and animals have problems and all these different things that were going on. I saw the love and the power as people come together and work. And I also really understood that that is what the hope of Christ is. That is what he's the light. And that's the difference between the light and the darkness. And if we're going to let the darkness consume us, that can only happen if we are not filled with the light of Jesus Christ. And if we are filled with the light of Christ, that is what the firefighters do. They keep that out. They do such a great job keeping it away from houses. And that's what Christ does for us. He keeps that darkness, that despair away. He keeps it at arm's length or further, right? Okay, so I just want to share some of these amazing, amazing quotes and references from these talks. So hope in God, his goodness and his power refreshes us with the courage during difficult times. So again, that's how in those difficult times, we can be refreshed. We can have that courage. It's not natural for us, right? Like the natural man is an enemy to God. The natural man, it's natural for us to become so fearful, worried, despair, irritated. But it's the light of Christ that allows us to handle it differently. I believe that one's from Uchtdorf, and here's a few more. There is such great power in hope. And then that one quote from someone else that there is spiritual spunk in hope. Hope is happiness. So I love all of those. If you think about it, I love the brother of Jared. I love how they are traveling on in their ships, in their barges, where they are getting sick, right? Like they're having babies, they're being tossed all about, they're traveling for like almost a year, and they land and they end and they give thanks for the mercies of the Lord. And I love that because we learned from Nephi the tender mercies of the Lord, but also that is said in with the brother of Jared, where they are so grateful for the many mercies of the Lord. And how beautiful is that? Because I think that is a huge part of hope, is looking for those tender mercies of the Lord. It's not the Lord taking away the big test or the big trial, the thing that's tearing our muscles down so we can get spiritually stronger. But it is the fact that there is that those little signs and those little glimpses that God loves us, that God is aware of us, that he's mindful of us, and that he wants to help us. I also found it so interesting in studying this that hope is a commandment. I was like, wow, so we've actually been commanded to be hopeful. As with all commandments, we have the responsibility to make it an active part of our lives and overcome the temptations to lose hope. I love that. That's a temptation. When we start to lose hope, we're being tempted. We're being tempted by the adversary to become discouraged or, again, doubtful, all of those things. Okay, in Moroni 8, we learn the visitation of the Holy Ghost, which comforter filleth with hope. So that's huge. As you guys know, the Holy Ghost is like the thing I want most with me because one, spiritual gifts come through it, light comes through it, the love of Christ, all of these things come through the Holy Ghost. And so, of course, so does hope, and that the comforter will fill us with hope. And having that daily check, do I have the Spirit with me? And if not, why? Is it my doubt? Is it just that fear? I constantly am, I'm focusing on that instead of the bright aspects. Okay, hope in our Heavenly Father's plan of happiness leads to peace, mercy, rejoicing, and gladness. And as we learned from the scriptures, hope is an anchor to our souls. I love that. Like if I want my soul to be anchored, That's what hope does. Hope anchors me to Jesus Christ. There's a really neat part in one of the talks where it talks about how we are cutting ourselves off from Jesus Christ and his light when we go towards darkness and we are hopeless. So when we lose hope, we're cutting ourselves off from the light of Christ. Okay. I just love Uchtdorf. His are just lovely. Okay. What are some of the signs of true hope? This is from a BYU talk. He says, calmness, optimism, all of the things that are the opposite of downheartedness or being disturbed. You can almost measure the level of hope you have in the Savior by the depth and frequency of depression and discouragement you allow yourself to sink into. Now, that's obviously different than chemical imbalances or like chemical depressions, things like that, where it's not really like it's the choice, it's a chemical thing. And that's completely different. But for those who are not having that, but we're allowing Satan to just bring us into that depths, bring us into that despair. We're allowing our thoughts, right? Because our thoughts create our feelings and they kind of dictate the emotional roller coaster we're going to ride. So if we're going to buy into those thoughts and temptations that Satan and his minions are putting into our hearts and minds, if we buy into that, we are cutting ourselves off from Christ. And as it said, like we're moving ourselves away from the Savior as we allow ourselves to move into that discouragement and levels of depression that aren't caused by other stuff. He says, just as discouragement and depression feed on themselves, he says, can't you just hear Satan saying, you can't do it. You are no good. You will never make it. Sometimes he says that right to your heart, and sometimes he uses others as his agents. Isn't that true? Aren't there people sometimes around us who say things that you're like, ouch? And they know the trigger points because he uses other people. Okay, so does hope regenerate itself? Can't you likewise hear the Savior saying, you can do it. You can and will make it. You are worth something. You're worth so much. I laid down my life for you. I love you. I redeemed you. I paid for you because I know you can make it. You can come home. Trust me. Follow me. Can't you hear the Savior saying that in those words? Doesn't that ring truth to you? I'm going to say it again. Where the Savior would say to us, I laid down my life for you because he knew you would make it. Would he lay down his life if he didn't believe that you would make it? He knows. He knows you can and will make it as you lean on him. I absolutely loved that. And then he continues, again, sometimes he speaks directly to our hearts, and sometimes he uses others as his agents. But there is always, always hope in Jesus Christ. One of Satan's ultimate weapons, if not the ultimate, is to remove hope from your life. I really like that. So he talks about how one of Satan's weapon, maybe the ultimate one, is to remove hope. Then he continues, to convince you that you can't do it, that there is no hope. Thus, by removing hope, he removes Christ from your life, for Christ is hope. So again, if Satan can get us to remove hope on any situation, whether it is to stop yelling at our kids, maybe it's that your marriage can get better, maybe it's that this horrible, crazy thing is not going to work out. Now again, like sometimes things don't work out, but losing hope that the Lord will help you through it, however it will happen, right? So if he can remove hope, he removes Christ from our life. He continues, Satan can never quite accomplish that fully, at least not here, because it is a lie. There is hope built within all of us. There is always, always hope. So that's a lie. Anytime we lose hope, we're buying into Satan's lie because we can't lose hope. Because really, we can't ever lose Christ. Christ will always, always be there for us, no matter what. I love that scripture, know ye not that you're in the hands of God. Like he wants us to forget that God is so mindful of us, that he sent his son to die for us, to suffer for everything we would go through, not only sins, but for these struggles, for these trials and tribulations that will test us and push us and stretch us in ways we didn't know we could ever, ever make it through, because we can make it with him. Okay, he continues, the spirit of hope is the spirit of the Savior. He is always encouraging. The scriptures talk about a perfect brightness of hope. Think about that. Wouldn't you like to have that, to never be down, never be discouraged? I agree with him. I would totally like that. Okay, he continues, that would be great, wouldn't it? I think all of us would agree. But will it ever happen here? Like a lot of things, it is difficult, but it can happen. Else why would the Lord tell Nephi to press forward with a steadfastness in Christ, having a perfect brightness of hope and a love of God and of all men? A perfect brightness of hope. And again, the closer we draw to our Savior, the more we have hope. And I have found that with each of these trials and craziness this year, that as I draw closer to Christ, I am not consumed by them. I'm not worried about them. I'm not focusing on the negative aspects of it, but noticing, as did the brother of Jared and Nephi and so many other people that went through so much, the tender mercies of the Lord, noticing all the ways that the Lord is trying to show me he loves me and he is there for me in spite, enduring all of those things, and how that completely can change our outlook, just looking for those things. And I have been so, so grateful. Then he shares, which I completely agree with, but like anything else good, it is not easy. It does not come without effort. Isn't that true? Like, we have to make the effort. We have to choose to have that hope, to keep that faith, to believe in Christ. And he says, Satan will try to diminish your hope or keep it away from you altogether if he can. The Savior will always help you increase your hope. I really like this part. He says, so you see, the battle lines are clearly drawn. Satan and his forces and the world will do everything in their power to have you lose hope. Okay, I want you to understand that. The next time, if you are going through a struggle or a trial or something, maybe you're not right now. Maybe you're having like a year, like some of the ones I have had in the past, where life is just good. But keep this in mind for when those trials and tribulations come. That Satan and his forces and the world, they will do everything in their power to have you lose hope, to be constantly down on yourself, always discouraged or disappointed. Okay, that's a huge, huge thing. That is something I have found. So maybe you're not going through a huge trial or tribulation right now, but I found so many of us, and I'm including myself in this, that we can feel never good enough. Like, we're not quite good enough. We're not quite there. I'm not, like, if we're not perfect, we're so hard on ourselves. And I see that when I work with women again and again, that they're so hard on themselves, that when they're not perfect, that when they do fall short, they just start this self-bullying. And that is also losing hope. That is not part of Jesus Christ, that Jesus Christ is always cheering us on. He's our advocate. He's always the one saying, you can do this. You will get through this. Yes, you are imperfect. Yes, you made those mistakes. You will continue to make mistakes, but press forward with a brightness of hope. That means a hope in yourself too. So I really like how he talks about not being discouraged. Then he continues, we know people like that because we have been like that sometimes. Satan wants to discourage you, for he knows discouragement and hope cannot exist together. Again, discouragement and hope cannot exist together. We know that about doubt and faith, right? Like, those cannot coexist. So if he gets you discouraged enough, out goes your hope. So we should not beat ourselves up as moms. I have some fun things coming that I've been working on that I'm so excited to share with you guys, but that building ourselves up, realizing that all we can do is our best, and that the Lord is proud of us when we do that, even if our best is like super, super falling short. Okay, on the other hand, the Savior will do just the opposite, he says. He will do all in his power to encourage you, to lift you, give you hope, help you in every way possible, so that with a steadfastness in Christ, we may obtain that perfect brightness of hope. And then discouragement and despair are gone. Can you see how clear that is? He says, darkness, discouragement, pessimism, depression, anger, lack of hope, all come from Satan and his forces. So again, any darkness, discouragement, being pessimistic, depression, anger, lack of hope, all of those are from Satan. Whereas optimism, light, encouragement, hope, even to a brightness of hope, all come from the Savior. Basically, those Without hope are those who rely on themselves. Isn't that great? So when we are falling short, when we are like, wait, I was just discouraged, or I've been doubting, or maybe you got angry or grumpy or had a hard day. If we're hard on ourselves and we're losing hope, that means we're trying to rely on ourselves. We're wanting us to be enough, us to make it. And I'm never going to make it. That's what I've realized. I am never going to be able to do it on my own, ever. And that's okay, because God's plan and purpose for me never was that I was supposed to make it on my own. And I love that. I don't have to do it on my own, because Christ and the Lord, He does it with me. And so he talks about, we lose hope when those who rely on themselves will lose hope, who have not tapped into the power beyond themselves, even the Savior himself. Because if all things are possible with God, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Those are scriptures and promises that through Christ we can overcome. We can do it. So we should always, always have hope because of those promises. I love in the Living Christ, it reminds us that Christ is the light, the life, and the hope of the world. And Moroni talks about, and if ye have not hope, ye must needs be in despair. I love that. So if you don't have hope, yeah, you're going to be in despair. Good luck with that. I love Moroni. Okay, genuine hope gives spiritual spunk. Again, I love this talk. It was so funny. And he says, hope beckons all of us to come home where a glow reflects the light of the world. So when we go to Christ, again, he is the light of the world, and we will stand in that light whose brightness and glory defy all description. Jesus waits with open arms to receive those who fully overcome by faith and hope. So we will overcome by what? Faith and hope. And then once we obtain those, that is such an important and vital role to having charity. His welcome will consist not of a brief loving pat, but instead of being clasped in the arms of Jesus Christ, the light of the world. Again, as we walk towards Christ, we walk towards light. And there is no darkness or despair in light. There is hope, love, optimism, and joy. By utilizing the atonement, we access the gift of the Holy Ghost, which will fill us with hope and perfect love. So there we go. As we have the Holy Ghost will fill us with that hope and that perfect love. Since the adversary desireth that all men might be miserable like unto himself, his is the plan of misery. So they're the complete opposite, light and darkness, misery, happiness. What is hope? He says. He says, I suppose that it is like trying to define faith or love. It is very difficult, but we can use some examples. As near as I can tell, hope is light. Yay! We know spiritual gifts are light. Christ is light, right? So everything good is light. He says, hope is light. It is a light within us that pierces the darkness of doubt and discouragement and taps into the light of hope of all creation, even the Savior Jesus Christ. So as we have that light, we are filled with the love and power of Jesus Christ. Okay, let's read in DNC 8867. It says, and if your eye be single to my glory, your whole body shall be filled with light. And in parentheses, he has filled with hope. Because again, if we're filled with light, all we have is hope. We don't have that discouragement or that darkness. And there shall be no darkness in you. And then he wrote, no discouragement. And that body which is filled with light comprehendeth all things. So again, as we are filled with light, we are filled with hope. Hope, in a word, is the Savior. Hope is part of deity in us that attaches to our Savior. I really like that. It's a godly attribute. Just as doubt and despair go together, so do faith, hope, and charity. The latter, however, must be carefully and constantly nurtured, whereas despair, like dandelions, needs so little encouragement to sprout and spread. Despair comes so naturally to the natural man. I love that. Despair and doubt and discouragement come so naturally to the natural man. And I can understand that one, because we have dandelions. Anytime my kids like blow them, I'm like, no, we just got 1,000 more. Okay. Thus, real hope is so much more than wishing. It stiffens, not slackens, the spiritual spine. It is composed, not giddy, eager without being naive, and pleasantly steady without being smug. Hope is realistic anticipation, taking a form of determination, a determination not merely to survive, but to endure well to the end. While weak hope leaves us at the mercy of our moods and events, I thought that was really, really profound. Weak hope leaves us at the mercy of our moods and events. So again, that goes back to our thoughts, creating our emotions and our moods and whatever is happening around us. But if we are to overcome that and go past that, that is where Christ is, the brightness of hope, because he produces and lightens individuals. Okay, hope helps us to walk by faith, not by sight. Those with hope often see their personal circumstances shaken again and again. Yet, because they have Christ as their light, they are able to remain in hope. So Paul described how tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience hope. So again, that goes back to the muscle thing, where Paul's talking about, well, our tribulations, they work patience in us, and patience and experience, those create hope. And he experienced that very thing after denying Christ. After that really, really hard experience for him, where he denies the one he loves so much, he was torn down. And after that experience, he is built up. And he has that spiritual strength and power where he eventually does give his life. Okay, President Faust said, "Hope is the anchor of our souls." He quotes that from a scripture. And he says, "I know of no one who is not in need of hope." Okay, so this goes for everyone listening. He said, again, "I know of no one who is not in need of hope, young or old, strong or weak, rich or poor. As the prophet Ether exhorted, wherefore, whoso believeth in God might with surety hope for a better world." So that, again, everyone needs hope, because everyone is going to experience those times of tribulation and sorrow and tests. President Faust continues, "Everybody in this life has their challenges and difficulties. That is part of our mortal test. The reason for some of these trials cannot be readily understood except on the basis of faith and hope, because there is often a larger purpose which we do not always understand. So peace comes from hope." So there is the gift of peace, and again, peace comes through hope. So as we have the gift of hope, we can also pray for and ask for the gift of faith and peace, because once we have that hope, then that peace can come. And we can hope even when all logic tells us not to hope. And that was, Abraham is a great example of that, because Abraham, against hope, believed in hope that he might become the father of many nations. Like, contrary to human reasoning, he trusted God, and he still had that hope. Because again, it would be easy for him to be like, well, technically it is not possible anymore. But he had that hope. He didn't lose that hope. I think this one is Maxwell. Again, a lot of my notes are all mixed up, but actually this one might be Uchtdorf. Anyways, it's in the talks listed in the notes. He says, "There may be times when we must make a courageous decision to hope, even when everything around us contradicts this hope." And in talk after talk, it talks about how faith and hope and charity all complement each other, and that hope is critical to both faith and charity, and that those are needed, because when disobedience, disappointment, or procrastination come in, faith and hope are the things that will uphold our faith. The things we hope for lead us to faith, while the things we hope in lead us to charity. These three qualities, faith, hope, and charity, bring us to the light of Jesus Christ. If I want to abide in his glorious light, I must have faith, hope, and charity. Now, I think this one might be Uchtdorf. "There may be some among you who feel darkness encroaching upon you. You may feel burdened by worry, fear, or doubt. To you and to all of us, I repeat a wonderful and certain truth. God's light is real. It is available to all. It gives life to all things. It has the power to soften the sting of the deepest wound. It can be a healing balm for the loneliness and sickness of our souls. In the furrows of despair, It can plant the seeds of a brighter hope. It can enlighten the deepest valley of sorrow. It can illuminate the path before us and lead us through the darkest night into the promise of a new dawn. The adversary uses despair to bind our hearts and mind in suffocating darkness. Despair drains us from all that is vibrant and joyful and leaves behind the empty remnants of what life was meant to be. Despair kills ambition, advances sickness, and pollutes the soul, deafens the heart. Despair can seem like a staircase that leads only and forever downward. Hope, on the other hand, is like a beam of sunlight, rising up and above the horizon of our present circumstances. It pierces the darkness in a brilliant dawn. It encourages and inspires us to place our trust in a loving care of an eternal Heavenly Father, who has prepared a way for those who seek eternal truth. Hope is not knowledge, but rather the abiding trust that the Lord will fulfill His promises to us. It is confidence that we live according to God's laws and the words of His prophets now, we will receive desired blessings in the future. The things we hope in sustain us during our daily walk. They uphold us through trials, temptations, and sorrows. Everyone has experienced discouragement and difficulty. Indeed, there are times when darkness may seem unbearable. It is in these times that the divine principle of the restored gospel can help bring us light and comfort. Nevertheless, spiritual light rarely comes to those who merely sit in darkness, waiting for someone to flip a switch. It takes an act of faith to open our eyes to the light of Jesus Christ. Spiritual light cannot be discerned by the carnal eyes. Jesus Christ Himself taught, "I am the light which shineth in darkness, and darkness comprehendeth it not. For the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them because they are spiritually discerned." So again, that goes back to, things may look hopeless, but that's the natural man, because there is always hope in Jesus Christ. There is always hope that He will carry you through it. The trial may not go away, kind of like the Nephites. They still were in bondage in the Book of Mormon, but that the Lord carried their burdens so they did not fill them upon their backs. That is what hope does. Isn't it wonderful to know that we don't have to be perfect to experience blessings and gifts of Heavenly Father? We don't have to wait to cross the finish line to receive God's blessings. In fact, the heavens begin to part and blessings of heaven begin to distill upon us the very first steps we take towards His light. The perfect place to begin is exactly where you are right now. It doesn't matter how unqualified you may think you are or how far behind others you may feel. The very moment you begin to seek your Heavenly Father, in that moment, the hope and light of His light will begin to awaken, enliven your soul. The darkness may not dissipate all at once, but as surely as night always gives way to dawn, the light will come. Lift up your souls in prayer. Explain to your Heavenly Father what you are feeling. Acknowledge your shortcomings. Pour out your heart and express your gratitude. Let Him know of the trials you are facing. Plead with Him in Christ's name for the strength and support. Ask that your ears may be opened, that you may hear His voice. Ask that your eyes may be opened, that you may see His light. Your Heavenly Father knows that you will make mistakes. He knows that you will stumble, perhaps many, many times. This saddens Him, but He loves you. He does not wish to break your spirit. On the contrary, He desires that you rise up and become the person you were destined to be. As we draw near to God, He will draw near to us. And day by day, the hope of God's light will grow within us, brighter and brighter, until the perfect day. Yes, from time to time, our lives may seem to be touched by or even wrapped in darkness. Sometimes the night that surrounds us will appear disheartening and frightening. President Uchtdorf continues, "I testify that with Christ, darkness cannot succeed. Darkness will not gain victory over the light of Jesus Christ. Don't you love that? And I want to say that again. Darkness will not gain victory over the light of Jesus Christ. Then he says, brothers and sisters, even after the darkest night, the Savior of the world will lead you to a gradual, sweet, and bright dawn that will assuredly rise within you. As you walk toward the hope of God's light, you will discover compassion, love, and goodness of a loving Heavenly Father, in whom there is no darkness. So, again, if you are not having trials or tribulations right now, I pray that you will have this in your heart and a testimony so that when those days or times do come, you will be filled with the light and the hope of Jesus Christ. And for those of you who are going through a hard time, I testify to you that his light is real. His comfort, his peace, and especially his hope is always, always there if we seek him. Even in tribulations and trials that test us, that we might question, that they definitely tear us down and stretch us, that through him, we really can be built and become even stronger, and that we can have that spiritual spunk, which is the hope that can be found in Jesus Christ. The hope against all natural reasoning. So may you be filled with the love and light of Jesus Christ. May you know how loved you are. May you have more light than darkness in your day and in your life is my prayer for all of you. I love you all. And I say these things in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Goodbye. I will talk to you all next week. Bye.